ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे, निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द, श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। So I welcome everyone to the holy precincts of the most historical Shri Shri Radha Govinda Mandir. So this temple was begun, the construction of this temple began in 1576 and it was completed, and the deities of Radha Govinda were installed in 1590 AD. So currently this temple appears to be in a dilapidated state. The temple is surrounded by various other structures and one is not able to understand its actual position in history when it was actually first constructed. Sitting here in the precincts of this temple gives us a glimpse into how neutral Krishna is with respect to what he preaches. So Krishna says that he is the time factor, and Krishna says that the time factor does not spare anyone. And so we see that Krishna does not exclude his own temples from the influence of that time factor. So it is not that the time factor only influences the demoniac forces, but these are all temples built by the most intimate manjaris from the spiritual world, and temples built by the manjaris of the spiritual world are not spared of the influence of time. And over a period of time you cannot even recognize the original glory of the temple. So Bhagwan is eternal, Bhakta is eternal, and Bhakti is eternal. Apart from that, all the other things are details subject to change. So therefore the first lesson is, the current way we see our temples or our congregations or our institution, the way it is today, we should expect that there could always be changes, and we should not be surprised by changes, because that is the nature of the time factor. In the Chaitanya Charitamrit Madhyalila it is described that Vrindavane Kalpadruma Suvarna Sadan Mahayoga Pita Taha Ratna Simhasan, that in Vrindavan there is a beautiful temple under the Kalpa Vriksha tree. Kalpadrume Suvarna Sadan, a golden house which is just like a desire-fulfilling tree. Mahayoga Peetataha Ratna Samhasan, and it is considered to be the center of the entire Brajbhumi, where Krishna's pastimes along with Radharani and the gopis expand. Ratna Simhasan, and in that there is a huge, beautiful, intricately carved golden throne. Golden Simhasan. So this temple had, at that point of time, when Kaviraj Goswami is writing the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this must be in the period of around 1610. There was a golden Simhasan. Tate Vasi Ache Sada Brajendra Nandan Sri Govinda Devanama Sakshata Madan. And in this golden effulgent house resides the Supreme Lord Govinda Dev. Brajendra Nandan, and his name is Sri Govinda Dev Nam. He is Govinda Dev. Sakshat Madan, and he is non-different from the Cupid, all-attractive Cupid. And then he describes that how these deities are being served. Sahasra sevaka seva kore anukshan sahasra sevaya nayaya varnan. Thousands and thousands of devotees are seen serving the Lord. Every moment there are thousands of people serving Govinda Dev. Sahasra sevaka seva kore anukshan. Sahasravadane seva nayaya varnan. And with thousands of mouth, it will be impossible for us to describe about the quality and the super excellence of the service which was happening in that period. Sevara adhyaksha Sri Pandit Haridas Tarayasha Guna Sarve Jagate Prakash. Amongst those thousands and thousands of sevaks, the Mahant of this temple at that point of time, his name was Pandit Haridas. And this name comes a few times in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sri Pandit Haridas was the Mahant, or the main in charge, or in today's ISKCON language, the president of this temple. And Tara Guna Yasha Sarve Jagate Prakash, his qualities and his amazing Vaishnav behavior, they are known in all the three worlds. So Kaviraj Goswami is describing about Sri Pandit Haridas, who was heading this temple at that point of time. Sushila Sahishnu Shanta Badanya Gambhir Madhura Vachana Madhura Cheshta Mahadhir. He had the divine qualities of being well-behaved, tolerant, quiet. He was extremely compassionate. He was very grave. He was sweet in his speech. He was sweet in his dealings. And he was extremely deep in his realizations of Krishna consciousness. And he had further Vaishnava quality, which is the most important. Sabara sammana karta koren sabarhit Kautilya matsarya himsa najane tarachit. Sabara sammana karta, he was always willing to give respect to others. Koren sabarhit, he was always benefiting others. working for the benefit of others. And he was free from the influence of fault-finding, envy, tendency to commit violence. All this was not seen in his character. Sri Krishna ye sadharana sadguna panchas saito gune ratare sharire nivas. So all of Krishna's various qualities were residing within him. And the most prominent amongst the qualities which was in Pandit Haridas was Vaishnavera gunagrahi no dekhaye dosh kaye mane vakye kore Vaishnava santosh. He was always seeing the good qualities of the devotees. He would not see their faults at all. With his body, mind and words, he was always trying to please the Vaishnavas. So when we are dealing with the devotees, we may have a tendency to see some faults. But when we consider that we may be different from other devotees in many ways, we may be superior in some ways, inferior in other ways, but there is one particular feature in life for which we are dependent on all the devotees, then we feel, yes, we need the devotees' shelter. So we may be different and distinct, but we have one thing in common. We are all trapped by Maya. How many of you feel that you are trapped by Maya? Only one hand. We are drowning under the influence of Maya. And therefore, when someone is drowning, then he needs help of others to pull him out. And therefore, that is one thing we have in common, that we are under the influence of the material energy. And Maya is dragging us and drowning us. And in order to become free, we need the help of the other devotees. So therefore, Pandit Haridas had this quality and he was totally dedicated to serving the Supreme Lord Sri Govindadev. So I hope your security is in place. I should hold my notes.
यहाँ पे कहाँ गया वो? यहाँ पे वो डिवोटी खड़ा था ना, सिक्योरिटी वाला कहाँ गया?
वो आ गए, सिक्योरिटी वाले आ गए। फेंको उसको, फेंको। मैं आपको बोला था कल
Ha 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 ha! हरिबोल, ओए हरिबोल, यू स्टैंड हियर, इधर ही खड़े रहो आप, ये लो सबका हाँ,
सब कुछ आ गया कि कुछ और बाकी है? बाकी है, बाकी है।
अरे भैया ये क्या कर रहे, ये गिरेगा अभी।
ये किसका था यहाँ पे जो था, ये किसका है? रघुनाथ जीवन प्रभु की। रघुनाथ जीवन प्रभु जो है पुलिस डिपार्टमेंट, मुंबई पुलिस डिपार्टमेंट में। और हमारे आजकल इमिग्रेशन एयरपोर्ट में ड्यूटी पर हैं इंचार्ज, और हमारे सब इंटरनेशनल फ्लाइट आते जाते हमको रिसीव और सेंड ऑफ यही करते हैं। बहुत बहुत धन्यवाद। सिक्योरिटी डिपार्टमेंट का एक्शन में लोगों ने बहुत बार देखा नहीं था, आज सबकी श्रद्धा बढ़ गई है कि जो भी कोई आपको सफारी में दिखेगा वो ऐसे ही सूट पहन कर नहीं घूम रहे हैं। सो दिस पर्टिकुलर डिवोटी श्री हरिदास पंडित, ही इज द वन हु गेव इंस्ट्रक्शन टू कविराज गोस्वामी टू राइट द श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत, एंड देयरफॉर दिस श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत वॉज एक्चुअली रिटन here in Govind Dev temple, and that's a very historical incident which has happened, and therefore this particular temple has very special significance on the entire history of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Srila Prabhupada, he was in Vizag and he met one very prominent person in society. So Prabhupada asked him, what is your name? And he told his name. And then Prabhupada asked, what do you do? And he said, I am an archaeologist. Prabhupada said, what does that mean? So he said, that means I study ancient people, primitive people. So Prabhupada said, you study primitive people? Then he said, yes. What about you? Prabhupada said, my name is A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. So what do you do? Prabhupada said, I study advanced people. And then Prabhupada turned to him and said, what is the point in studying primitive people? Because if they have animalistic tendencies, then there is no point. And therefore, the Vaishnava Acharyas spent significant time and energy compiling literatures, and all of the Gaudiya Granthas in that period was compiled here in Radha Govinda Dev temple. And generally in the Hindu tradition it is assumed that people do not engage in preaching or spreading Krishna consciousness. But this is the temple where Srinivas, Narottam and Shyamananda were blessed with the books of the Goswamis, and Srila Jiva Goswami had an elaborate ceremony right here to bless them to go and spread Krishna consciousness in the whole of Bengal. So this temple was the epicenter of all the Gaudiya Vaishnava activities in Vrindavan in that period. So the golden period of Vrindavan was from the time the Govindadev temple opened in 1590 till the time Aurangzeb attacked in 1670. That period saw the flourishing culture of Gaudiya tradition here in Sri Vrindavan Dham. So with that context, I would like to now get into a little bit of detail into the history of this temple and how there is a background to all of this. And that is Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He appeared specifically for the purpose of establishing Braj Bhakti, the bhakti of Vrindavan Dham as demonstrated by the Brajavasis. Prema rasa niryasa korite asvadan raga marga loke bhakti korite pracharan. Krishna appeared in this world to taste love and to teach love. And after Krishna's disappearance, his grandson Vajranab, he carved out three deities, Madan Mohan, Govindadev and Gopinath. And he also established the temple of Giriraj, what we now know as the deities of Srinathji. So like that, even and then in Keshavji in Mathura. So many beautiful temples, and the renovation of the entire Mathura Mandal was done by Vajranab. But in around 1000 AD, Mahmud of Ghazni attacked this whole place. And he, it seems, carried away 100 camels filled with gold, diamonds, emeralds and rubies. The scribe of Mahmud of Ghazni describes that when they saw the beautiful temple of Keshavji in Mathura, Ghazni himself remarked that this temple could not have been built by any human beings. It is the work of someone divine. And then he also mentioned that this temple must have taken at least 200 years to build. And having expressed so much appreciation for the temple, then he went ahead and destroyed it. And then all of that destruction practically resulted in covering up of the entire glories of Vrindavan Dham for the next 500 years. So as I was discussing the other day, that today when you come in Kartik to Vrindavan, every street is filled with devotees from different parts of the world. Devotees from nearby local areas, devotees from all over India. Vrindavan is throbbing with devotional fervor and excitement. But we take it for granted that Vrindavan was always like this. So the influence of the attack in the 1017 AD lasted for 500 years. Sometimes when one's bones are broken, it takes a long time before one can stand up. And therefore, the very place where Krishna performed his pastimes personally, for 500 years, people practically forgot that this 84 crores has any major pastime places of Krishna. Apart from a very few number of very advanced souls who were naturally very much connected to the Lord within, the world in general forgot the connection between Mathura, Vrindavan and Krishna. Can you imagine? So the original holy place was lost from public vision for not just 4 or 5 years, for 500 years. And therefore many people consider Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's contribution mainly in terms of establishing the Sankirtan movement. But my dear friend Srivatsa Goswami from Radharaman Temple, who was also a Harvard scholar, he makes a beautiful point that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should be considered as the Columbus of Vrindavan, who discovered Vrindavan in all its glory. So therefore Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took sannyas in January of 1510, but then he could not come to Vrindavan till 1515. So Mahaprabhu appeared in 1486. So from 1486 till 1515, Mahaprabhu was continuously contemplating about Vrindavan. And the only reason he took sannyas was so that he could come to Vrindavan. But as soon as he took sannyas, he was diverted to Bengal. Then his mother told, please reside in Puri. And so the only reason Mahaprabhu took sannyas was so that he could come and establish Vrindavan and renovate Vrindavan. That was the original idea of Mahaprabhu taking sannyas. Paratmanishtha matra veshadharan mukunda sevaya hoy samsarataran. So Mahaprabhu took sannyas to come to Vrindavan, but then Mahaprabhu also acknowledged the fact that the mood of Vrindavan is to submit to the will of Krishna and Krishna's devotees. And therefore there is no question of establishing Vrindavan without following the discipline of listening to the desires of those who are superior. And so because his mother Sachimata told, please do not go and reside in Vrindavan but stay in Jagannath Puri, Mahaprabhu revealed that the experience of Vrindavan begins with our willingness to change our plans every moment. Temples may be built out of stone, but our plans must be made out of sand, which can be shaken and moved any moment. So therefore we should not make our plans out of stone, because ultimately they will be smashed. So therefore Mahaprabhu was willing to adjust and stay in Jagannath Puri. And then when he went to Puri, immediately he went to South India. And then as he was going to South India for 2 years, he was spreading the holy names everywhere across South India. Mattasimha praya prabhu korila gaman prema veshe jaye kori nama sankirtan. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling across South India like a maddened lion, singing the holy names, spreading the holy names, giving pure love to others. And as he was doing his kirtan in Alarnath, Mahaprabhu had his arms raised. He had the holy names chanting from his lips. Tears of ecstasy were flowing from his eyes. And all the various symptoms of ecstasy were manifesting from different limbs of his body. And so, it is described, Chaudikete sabaloka bole hori hori prema veshe madhya nritya kore gaur hari. As Mahaprabhu was chanting, he was surrounded by devotees who had an intense desire to experience what he was experiencing. Because the soul by nature is blissful, and the most attractive commodity for the soul is to see a pool or an ocean of genuine, unadulterated bliss. And when we see that, We want to taste that. And when people would see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they could see he is experiencing bliss. And everyone wanted a few drops of that. Kanchana sadrisha deha aruna basan pulaka ashru kampasveda tahate bhushan. So Mahaprabhu's form was golden, effulgent. His beautiful sannyas clothes were the color of the rising sun. And as Mahaprabhu was chanting the holy names, his lips were trembling in ecstasy. His voice was getting choked. All his limbs, they were elongating under the influence of the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So when Mahaprabhu returned back by 1512, immediately Mahaprabhu told the devotees, I want to go to Vrindavan. Then the devotees said, no, you go after Rath Yatra. Then they said, go after Kartik. Go after Holi. And they postponed Mahaprabhu's departure for one more year. After the Rath Yatra in 1513, Mahaprabhu insisted that I must go to Vrindavan. But I want to go via the path of Bengal. Mata Ganga Bhakta Dekhi Sukhi Hoila Man. I want to see my mother, I want to see my devotees, and I want to see Ganga Devi. And all the devotees were not giving permission to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yadyapi Svatantra Prabhu Nahe Nivaran Bhakta Icha Vina Prabhu No Kore Gaman. Although Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is supremely independent, no power can stop Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhakta Icha Vina Prabhu Na Kore Gaman. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is trying to share. One cannot experience Vrindavan by ruling over the desires of the devotees. And therefore, one can only enter Vrindavan when one is controlled, not by one's material desires, not by one's agitated mind. But one enters Vrindavan pulled by the desires of the devotees. Bhakta Icha Vina Prabhu No Kore Gaman. And therefore, being the supreme independent Lord, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu still did not exert his independence, because Vrindavan is a plane where every atomic fraction is dancing in ecstasy, in total dependence, total servitude, total slavery to the desires of Krishna and Krishna's devotees. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when finally permitted, left with the help of Ramananda Rai, Prataprudra Maharaj and others, and went from Jagannath Puri to Bhuvaneshwar, to Katak, to Jajpur, to Mantreshwar, to Pichalada, for Kumarhatta, to Shantipur. Then Mahaprabhu comes to Ramakeli. Mahaprabhu delivers two personalities, Rup and Sanatan. Vidya bhakti buddhi bale param praveen tabu apanaka mane trina hoitehin. So these two personalities in vidya, bhakti, buddhi and bal are extremely powerful, but still they consider themselves lower than the straw in the street. Dui bhai bhakta raja Krishna kripa patra vyavahare raja mantri hoy raja patra. Both of them are the king amongst the devotee community. They have received Krishna's supreme grace. Externally in their profession, they may appear to be ministers. One was the prime minister of the entire state of Bengal. The other was the finance minister of the entire state of Bengal. The third brother was in charge of the entire administration, the principal secretary. That is father of Jiva Goswami, Anupam. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could have gone directly to Vrindavan, but first he wanted to come and identify his associates who will assist him in the mission of establishing, recreating and renovating Vrindavan. Because Lord Chaitanya knew that he would not get sufficient time to spend in Vrindavan. So therefore the first two personalities Mahaprabhu delivers in his mission to Vrindavan are these two brothers. Uttama hoyahina kore manah apanare ochire karibe Krishna tomara udhare. And Mahaprabhu tells them that you are great, but consider yourself fallen. You have power and influence, but you have the foundation of humility. And therefore, Vrindavan can only be excavated with the tool of humility, not with the tool of pride and arrogance. Vrindavan can only be revealed through submission and not through skill. And therefore, Mahaprabhu gave them the mission that Lupta Tirtha Uddhar, you should excavate the lost holy places. You should establish deities. You should write bhakti literatures. You should write about Vaishnav Shishtachar and Sadachar. All of these missions Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave them. And although Mahaprabhu gave them the mission to establish temples, build temples, develop holy places, what is the first thing you need for building a temple? If you want to develop a temple or build a temple, as soon as you hear building, what do you need? Money. And the first thing Rupa and Sanatan did was, they gave away 7 boatloads filled with gold, donated. Not gold plated. 7 boats which were filled with gold bricks. The size of the boat is not described, but it was a significant amount of wealth they gave away. So the question may arise, why did they give it away? They could have used it to buy land here or to build temple here. But they realized that the mission of establishing Vrindavan has to begin with the foundation, not of money, not of power, not on the foundation of political power, but on the foundation of devotional power. You cannot establish Vrindavan or experience Vrindavan by accessing wealth. They were more interested in accessing the wealth of absorption in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, at that point in Ramakeli, Sanatana Goswami mentioned to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Durlabha Durgama Sehi Nirjan Vrindavan Eka Ki Jaiba Sange Sange Ekajan. He told Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vrindavan is a very secluded place, you should not go with so many people. Because the whole purpose of Vrindavan is absorption. Of course, this is not the best ambience for absorption. But in the midst of all of the mental anxieties, if the mind cannot be absorbed in Krishna, there is no point in going to Vrindavan. So therefore, the whole idea of Vrindavan is to be absorbed in two thoughts: how to serve Krishna and how to please Krishna. How to serve Krishna and how to please Krishna. This is something which constantly radiates in the ether of Vrindavan. And therefore, when Srila Prabhupada established ISKCON and he was in India, he came to Aligarh and he was hosted by the owner of the Tiger Lock Company. And Prabhupada was giving a lecture, and that time emergency was going on, 1975. And just before emergency, the government had issued one slogan, Kam Adhik Bate Kam. So Prabhupada in his lecture, he took this theme and he said, it was a Hindi lecture, and Prabhupada was saying, Sarkar kehti hai kam adhik bate kam, lekin Gita kehti hai kam kam bate adhik. And then Prabhupada explained that Krishna says in Gita, mad man mana bhava mad bhakto mad yaji mam namaskuru. Spend some time hearing and chanting about glories of Krishna. When you understand your purpose, then you actually are able to follow and apply. So therefore you should hear. So then he was again and again repeating, Kam kam bate adhik, kam kam bate adhik. And so the host came to the stage and whispered in Prabhupada's ear that Swamiji, a minister from Indira Gandhi's government, just before the emergency, was very close to her. He is also sitting in the audience. So if you keep hammering like this, he may feel offended. Mantri ji bhi baithe hain. So Prabhupada in the mic only said, Mantri ji kahan hain? So he was sitting right there, he got up. And Prabhupada said, this is what Gita is saying. And he quoted the verse. And then he asked the mantri, aapko kya lagta hai mantri ji? And mantri ji folded his hand and said, Swami ji, aap theek keh rahe hain. So Prabhupada was very straightforward in establishing this fact that first the consciousness has to be purified, then the appropriate action will follow. And therefore Rupa and Sanatan, with such vast political and administrative experience in the state of Bengal under Nawab Hussain Shah, did not come to Vrindavan and straight start excavating holy places and start creating all facilities and everything. They went step by step. And the first step was showing the world the example of how to remain absorbed. Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Natibhi. So day and night they were absorbed like that. And therefore Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, hearing Sanatan Goswami's request, return back before approximately 1514 Jagannath Rath Yatra, he came back to Puri. So Mahaprabhu has not managed to go to Vrindavan so far. Then again, the devotees keep stopping him, and then finally Mahaprabhu is allowed to go to Vrindavan only in 1510 Dashara. He begins his journey, and then along with Balabhadra Bhattacharya he goes, and finally on Kartik Purnima, and Mahaprabhu did not want Balabhadra Bhattacharya, devotees forced, you should take somebody with you, only when you take somebody with you it will be all right. So Mahaprabhu took Balabhadra Bhattacharya with him, and they came finally to Vrindavan on Kartik Purnima, and Mahaprabhu attended Kartik in Vrindavan for only one day. That personality whose mission in life was to excavate Vrindavan, that personality was constantly remembering Vrindavan, that personality who said, Anyer Hrdeman Moraman Vrindavan Manevane Ekakuri Jani, that there is no difference between my mind and Vrindavan. But personally he spent only one day, the last day of Kartik. So you have spent more time in Kartik than Mahaprabhu. So then Mahaprabhu after that stayed for one more month. And then Balabhadra Bhattacharya was getting agitated. And then he looked at Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he was saying that Sahite na pari ami loker huda hudi. I cannot tolerate so many people coming and giving invitations. Nimantrana lagi loka kore godabadi. People are coming and giving invitations to you, demanding from me, where is Lord Chaitanya? I want to see him. Bring Mahaprabhu to my home for lunch. Bring Mahaprabhu to my home. I want to have his darshan. So Balabhadra Bhattacharya looked at Lord Chaitanya and said, I am getting too agitated in Vrindavan. Yes, Mahaprabhu is the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead, bliss personified. And Balabhadra Bhattacharya was in total misery in the association of bliss personified. And then he looks at Mahaprabhu and he says, Pratah kala aise loka tomare na paaye, tomare na paaye loka mora matha khaye. That in the morning people come searching for you, when they don't find you, they start eating my head. Udvigna hoila prana sohite na pari. My mind is totally in anxiety and therefore I want to leave Vrindavan. But you decide what you want to do. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is now in a very precarious condition. Yadyapi Vrindavana tyage nahe prabhurman bhakta icha purite kohe madhura bachan. Although Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had no desire to leave Vrindavan, but because his associate, whom he did not call, he was sent with him, he wanted to leave, Mahaprabhu said, I cannot experience Vrindavan without pleasing the devotees. So he does not want to stay, so I will leave with him. And Mahaprabhu immediately left from Vrindavan. And then Mahaprabhu spoke the highest philosophy to Rupa Goswami in Prayag. And then he spoke the highest philosophy to Sanatan at Varanasi and sent both of them to Vrindavan. So around 1516, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned back to Jagannath Puri, Rupa and Sanatan entered Vrindavan. So Mahaprabhu's mission in Vrindavan factually begins from his entry point in Kartik Purnima of 1515. Mahaprabhu only laid the seed, but it was watered and ultimately nourished by the Goswamis, led by the two leaders, Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami. Out of the two, Sanatan Goswami was having more political savvy and he was socially very astute. And so he practically spent his time traveling around the 84 crosh of Braj. Whatever little indications Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had made during his 1 month tour to Vrindavan, he elaborated on those holy places further and identified many more holy spots. And then he wrote, between him and Rupa Goswami, they wrote literatures glorifying Mathura, glorifying Vrindavan. And all the holy places which were lost to the holy, to the world, were actually revealed by them. काले न वृंदावन केली वार्ता लुप्ते ताम ख्यापय तुम विशिष्य कृपामृतेना विशिषेश्च देवस तत्रैव रूपं च सनातनं च. We offer our respectful obeisances to these two personalities, Rupa and Sanatana. Why? Because in due course of time, Vrindavana Keli Varta, the pastimes of Vrindavan was Lupteti, it became covered over. Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan were not visible to the world, they were not known to the world. The connection of these places with Krishna was lost. And therefore, Rupa and Sanatana were the personalities who actually excavated these particular holy places and made them visible. And so, Rupa Goswami was said, Sanatana Goswami of course found Madan Mohan, and Madan Mohan deities were being worshipped by the family in Mathura. And then Madan Mohan revealed to those family members that you should hand me over to Sanatana Goswami. And so Sanatana Goswami brought Madan Mohan Dev and was worshipping him in a small tila here. And then ultimately Sanatana Goswami had no plans to build any temple because he was simply following Mahaprabhu's instruction. And then of course, the boat got stuck and Ramdas Kapoor came and his boat was filled with salt. So initially Sanatana Goswami was requested by Madan Mohan, please add a little salt with your bati. And Sanatana Goswami had become very upset that today you are asking for salt, tomorrow you will ask Rajbhog. I cannot offer salt. But then ultimately Madan Mohan wanted to demonstrate that if Sanatana Goswami is not able to afford salt, a little bit of salt, I will organize a boatload of salt. And then ultimately by Madan Mohan's grace, the boat got released. Ramdas Kapoor sold that salt and brought the money. And with that money, the first temple of Madan Mohan was built, which is the other side, if you see, which is in a broken state. That was the first temple. So the current temple, which is the long one, which you see, that was made by Nand Kumar Basu much later. But the original temple, which was later demolished, is the one which you see on the other side. And so, Rupa Goswami was at that point contemplating and praying, I have still not found Govinda Dev. When will I find Govinda Dev? And a cowherd boy came and took Rupa Goswami by the hand and showed him a place where a cow was giving milk, and under that they excavated and found the beautiful deities of Govinda Dev. So Rupa Goswami sent a message to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that we found Govinda Dev, and Mahaprabhu immediately sent Kashishwar Pandit to assist Rupa Goswami in serving Govinda Dev. So the beautiful deities of Govinda Dev, there was a small nice temple which was made during Rupa Goswami's time, and it was made by Raghunath Bhatt Goswami. So if you see, when Mahaprabhu went to Bangladesh just before his sannyas, when he had just got his first marriage to Lakshmi Priya, when Mahaprabhu had gone to Bangladesh, that time his wife Lakshmi Priya died. During his trip to Bangladesh, he met one personality whose name is Tapan Mishra. And Mahaprabhu gave instruction to Tapan Mishra, you should go to Varanasi. And at that point, nobody knew why Mahaprabhu is telling Tapan Mishra to go to Varanasi. Then Tapan Mishra became the head priest of, you know, the kings, the Rajput kings of Rajasthan, of Amer dynasty, because Kashi or Varanasi was like the headquarters of Hindu culture. And so Pandits who were from Varanasi were accepted by kings as their royal priest. So Tapan Mishra became the Raj Guru for the Kachwaha dynasty, who were the rulers of Amer in Rajasthan. And therefore Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that this connection with the Rajputs here of the Amer dynasty would be a major factor in the second phase of the development of Vrindavan after Rup and Sanatana have established the spiritual foundation for Vrindavan. So Mahaprabhu is described by modern historians as a dancing madman. Yes, he was mad in ecstasy for Krishna, but he was also the supreme strategist who was playing all the moves on the chessboard of the history of that period, so that ultimately his mission of establishing Vrindavan is accomplished. And so Tapan Mishra's son, his name is Raghunath Bhatt Goswami. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had told him that after the departure of your parents, you go and serve Rupa and Sanatan. So Raghunath Bhatt Goswami became like an assistant to Rupa Goswami. And therefore he built the first temple for Govinda Dev right behind. And unfortunately that has been demolished few years ago. That's another story. So now that Rupa Goswami had these deities, and the Bhakti Sarasamrita Sindhu was published in 1534. So Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu was also a revolutionary literature, because for the first time in history, the principle of Vraja Bhakti was established. What is the meaning of Bhakti in Vrindavan? And therefore, Vrindavan is known as a place of spontaneous devotion. But is there hope for struggling neophytes to attain spontaneous devotion or Raga Bhakti? Yes. How to perform Sadhana Bhakti? That is described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So the journey from Sadhana Bhakti to Raga Bhakti is described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and worshipping Krishna in a mood free from awe and reverence, where one has intimacy of the love of the Brajavasis, that is described in the later stages. And therefore, just as the material world is controlled by Durga Devi, Vrindavan Dham is controlled by Srimati Radharani. And Srimati Radharani is eternally enjoying pastimes with Govinda Dev. But all the business of Vrindavan is conducted by two of the associates of Radharani, and they are Vrindadevi and Yogamaya. And therefore what you see here is the first temple in the history of creation, altar for Yogamaya. On the other side, exactly mapping this, on the other side is the temple for Vrindadevi. Of course, nothing is there right now. This whole courtyard has become a playground for monkeys. But this was Vrindadevi and Yogamaya. And this was basically taken on the foundation of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Rupa Goswami. So therefore you should understand historically, first the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu was written, then only details of how Krishna can be worshipped in Vrindavan is described. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's method of approaching Krishna through Harinam Sankirtan. And in order to perform Sankirtan, a nice beautiful hall where Krishna can be worshipped through dance. and music. And so the Goswamis also describe Krishna's 24-hour pastimes called Ashtaprahariya Leela. So through 24 hours, every 3 hours the pastime changes. But then again Rupa Goswami, being sensitive to the struggling condition of the neophytes, knows that people cannot sit and meditate on Krishna's 24-hour pastime. We may close our eyes, but may not open them. So therefore, for the neophytes to be able to appreciate the Ashtaprahara Leela, Jiva Goswami ultimately, while opening the Radha Govinda temple, established the different timings for the Arati and Bhoga. For the first time, deities of Krishna were made without ready-made clothes embedded in stone. For the first time, opportunity was given for the sadhaka to approach Krishna, and Krishna is in the mood, he is in Vrindavan. Mata more putra bhave kore na bandhan, atihi na gyane kore lalan palan. Krishna in Vrindavan allows himself to be nourished and protected and served by his mother. So like that, for the first time, Govinda Dev gave himself an opportunity to be served by the devotees. Dress me, feed me, take care of me in this fashion, like Mother Yashoda does in Vrindavan. So the different aratis correspond to the different times of Krishna's Ashtaprahariya Leela as they change. So what we call as Mangal Arati is when Krishna ends his Ras Leela, and we may think Krishna is getting up from his sleep, but actually Krishna is tired after his Ras Leela, and so he is fed 6 types of sweets in the morning. Many of the temples, they serve 6 to 8 types of different sweets at 4 o'clock in the morning. Why? Because he is tired from his Ras Leela. In our temple, one time our pujari, instead of waking up at 3:30 in the morning, his alarm went at 2:30. By mistake, and he got up and he didn't know what was going on. And as per his regular custom, he came and he thought it is 4:30 in the morning, but it was 3:30, and he blew the conch shell. And those days our brahmacharis used to sleep in the temple hall. The deity door opened. The brahmacharis looked and thought, we never saw such a good dream before. And then still one brahmachari got up and told the pujari, I think there is still 30 minutes more. Close it, we will sleep further. That is called Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. So what we consider to be some kind of an austerity, it is part of Krishna's Nitya Leela. But that has been translated into a means where conditioned souls can connect with. And therefore, Sanatan Goswami Pad was the first of the group who departed in 1558. So then, as I described, after Rupan Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami came. After Mahaprabhu's disappearance in 1534, Raghunath Das Goswami came. Raghunath Das Goswami was so disappointed with Mahaprabhu's departure that he simply wanted to come and jump off Govardhan and commit suicide. Rupan Sanatan said, first you come here, then we'll see. So when Raghunath Das Goswami came here, Rupan Sanatan told him that You have seen the pastimes of Mahaprabhu closely, narrate those pastimes. And so he spent time on the bank of Radhakund narrating those pastimes. And Kaviraj Goswami says, Chaitanya Lira Ratnasar Swarupera Bhandar Teho Thuila Raguna Tera Kante Taha Kichu Ye Shunilo Taha Iha Bistarilo Bhakta Gana Dilu Ei Bhete. That whatever I am speaking, I have only heard from Das Goswami on the banks of Radhakund. And I am simply repeating these pastimes for the pleasure of the devotees. And therefore, Raghunath Das Goswami, he was also picked up by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was the son of a multi-millionaire. His father, Hiranya Mazumdar, Hiranya itself means gold. Hiranya and Govardhan Mazumdar, father and uncle, they were at that time like the Warren Buffet or Bill Gates, the wealthiest people, and Raghunath Das Goswami was their son. So now, Rupa, Sanatan, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, then Mahaprabhu had met Gopal Bhatta Goswami when he was in South India tour, son of Venkat Bhatt. He wanted to leave immediately, but Mahaprabhu told him, no, after your parents are departed, then you can come. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami came and joined Rupa and Sanatan. Rupa and Sanatan sent message to Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu was very happy and he sent some gifts for Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And those gifts are still kept inside Radharaman temple. And so these were the five personalities. And what was special about these five? They were not ordinary. Although they were spiritually very, very qualified, but apart from spiritual qualification, which even Panchatattva had, Nityananda, Advaita were not sent to Vrindavan. They were asked, go and preach to the masses in Bengal. Do Harinam. Spread the message. Spreading the mission anyone can do. But establishing and running an institution, only few people should be given charge. Because not everyone can deal with power and powerful. So Mahaprabhu specifically chose those who had a lifelong experience of dealing with power and dealing with the powerful. Only they can penetrate through the administrative and the political machinery of a state and manage to convert Mahaprabhu's dream into reality. Therefore, the majority of Mahaprabhu's associates are supposed to simply hear and chant. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entrusted his future of the institution to be established in Vrindavan to the Goswamis. And in that meantime, the last person to arrive in Vrindavan was Jiva Goswami, because he spent time studying all the Shastras in Varanasi. And then after studying in Varanasi, learning the scholarship, he arrived in Vrindavan only in 1541. So in this period between 1541 till 1558, when Sanatan Goswami disappeared, those 17 years were the only 17 years when all the six Goswamis were here in Vrindavan together. I'm just giving you a little historical context so that you understand what we have today is a result of a lot of sacrifice, a lot of planning by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and a lot of struggle which has happened from the devotees' side in this whole period. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you will see Mahaprabhu and his ecstasies being manifested in the 18 years in Jagannath Puri From 1516 to 1534, in that 18 years, 6 years, Mahaprabhu opened himself with other devotees. And reciprocation has been described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Antalila. But the last 12 years of that 18 years, Mahaprabhu completely closed himself up in Gambhira. And he wanted to make a statement that bliss is not in real estate. Bliss is in real absorption. And one can be blissful even in a 10 by 10 feet, 100 square feet room, when we can experience the joy within. And so Mahaprabhu spent that time experiencing the bliss of Krishna consciousness, completely absorbed in chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And so as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was spending his time in Jagannath Puri in this period, in the year 1525, a very significant event happened. As I have described before, that the first attack on Vrindavan by the Muslim invaders happened in 1000 AD. Then another one happened just towards the end of the 15th century. And then the third one which happened was an attack on India, was by the Mughals. In 1525, Babur began his rule and the Mughal dynasty began. So the period from 1525 to 1857 is the entire span of the Mughal rule in India. And we have studied many of those in our history books in a very mechanical way, in a highly disinterested manner. At least, I was not at all interested. You know, which year did Akbar have a battle with Hemu? I don't know and I don't care. But if I write that, I don't get marks. So therefore, we mechanically studied through and wrote something and, you know. But now if we look back and then you see it from the context of what was happening at that period. So the Mughal rule began at the same time when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing pastimes. And so in 1530, Babur departed and his son Humayun took over. Then he was defeated for a small period and again after 10 years he came back. 15 years and then he ruled over till 1556 when his son Akbar took over. So now, in this period, Humayun laid the seeds for a new kind of an approach to ruling over India from the Muslim invaders. Previously, they were only interested in coming, looting and leaving. Now they decided to change their model. Let us stay here and rule this country for a longer period and make this place as our home. But if we want to make this as our home, we need alliance of local powers who know the local context. And without such allies, we cannot live here for long periods and rule over this country. And therefore they decided to make allies with the rulers of the Amera dynasty of the Kachwaha Kul, the Rajputs from Rajasthan. And so, the first person with whom they developed an alliance was King Bharmal, then his son Bhagwant Singh, then his son Bhagwan Singh, then his son Man Singh. So these were the different rulers of this particular area of Rajasthan. They were chivalrous, they were brave. They also wanted their power. And they played dual role. One as kings themselves, but second as viceroys to the Mughal dynasty. And in this context, Akbar became extremely close to Man Singh. And he gave him the highest rank in the army. And because of this close proximity, this alliance, this collaboration, what happened was the Gaudiya Vaishnavism flourished. Why? Because these Rajput rulers were extremely devoted to the Gaudiya Vaishnava devotees here in Vrindavan. And both Man Singh and Todarmal became the disciples of Raghunath Bhatt Goswami. So as I described before, that amongst the Goswamis, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami's name is not often mentioned, but he was one of the main game changers. Because he came from a family in Varanasi who were traditionally the priests of these Rajput rulers. They were the Raj Gurus. And so there was a natural connection between Raghunath Bhatt Goswami and these Rajput kings. And so Jiva Goswami was the supreme strategist who would advise Raghunath Bhatt Goswami what to do and how to do. And so this whole collaboration reached another level when Jiva Goswami managed to convince Todarmal to convince Akbar to declare that the deities of Govindadev and Madan Mohan are officially being worshipped by Jiva Goswami, and the Mughal administration is thus giving land in the names of the deities, and for the first time in modern history, a Mughal administration granted land for deities of Madan Mohan and Govindadev in 1564. And officially, in the records, Jiva Goswami was proclaimed as the person who would be the caretaker. And so many people are aware of Jiva Goswami's legendary intellectual exploits, but Jiva Goswami was also an astute administrator. And he made sure that the vision and the mission of Rup and Sanat and his uncles are ultimately preserved for posterity. And there is very painstaking keeping of records of all of these. And so Jiva Goswami made Gopal Das as the Mahant and handed him the responsibility of taking care of these deities. And so we find that further in 1572, Man Singh, he decided to go on an expedition, military expedition against some rulers. And Man Singh came to Jiva Goswami and said, please give me blessings to both Jiva Goswami and Raghunath Bhatt Goswami. And they said, okay, we'll give you blessings, but what will you do? He said, the first thing I'll do before even going is, I relieve Vrindavan from all kind of tax-paying burden and I make Vrindavan tax-free entity. That was like an advance payment before going for the expedition. And then he said, if I'm victorious, I'll come back and build a huge structure for Govindadev. So Man Singh was totally devoted to Govindadev and he wanted to build this huge, beautiful temple and also to establish his supremacy. And this temple was going to be the pride of the Kachwaha dynasty. And this temple was going to be the symbol of the Mughal, Rajput, Gaudiya collaboration. So therefore, do not think that political collaboration is a modern concept which has come just now. The temple which you are seeing right in front of you, the entire stone of this temple was donated by a Muslim king. The stone was being used for making palaces in Fatehpur Sikri. Agra was the headquarters, which is right around the corner. Delhi and other places. And who was executing all this? Man Singh. So all he would do is just inform Akbar, I am taking something here, something there. And Akbar said, as long as you guys are serving me and making sure my power is there, build whatever you want. So that is how the entire Vrindavan was built by Jiva Goswami, taking advantage of the political collaboration. So as long as the Rajput-Mughal collaboration was strong and cordial, Vrindavan flourished. And therefore, you know, this temple was built in that period, and Man Singh was successful in his expedition. He came back, and in 1576 he started building this temple. And as per the records, this was made by the architect was called also Bhagwan Singh. And the head mason of this temple is a person called Manik Sun Chopra. And this temple was built in those days during the economy of that period. In today's terms, it comes to more than 600 crore. So now, right in the middle of these two, you see this one structure here, and there is another structure on the other side. That is the Yogamaya and the Vrindadevi. In the middle was a tall 350 feet tall Gopuram. That is the missing link. So the main temple is missing right now. But that was the glory of this whole temple. So it was more than 300, 350 feet tall. Huge. And that was actually built, and Govindadev was residing inside that. And this was opened in 1590. Jiva Goswami installed the deities, and in one corner he has written what is known as the 8 verses glorifying Govinda Mandir. It is called Shri Govinda Mandir Ashtakam. The 8 verses glorifying Govindadev temple. And in that, he glorifies Govindadev, he glorifies Man Singh, because Man Singh was the prime donor, and he glorifies the person who helped Man Singh donate Akbar. And in history, we have read the term Akbar the Great, but few people know that the first time somebody coined that term was Jiva Goswami. And he called it Shriman Arkavaro Mahan. Mahan means great. Akbar the great, who is like Arkavara, best amongst the sun. He is effulgent like the sun. Right? So we also do many programs for donors. We also glorify them, give them shawl, you know, help them take pictures, do this, do that. So it's part of donor cultivation. So Jiva Goswami was a scholar. So rather than giving just a shawl and a photo and this and that, he could write shloka. So he wrote this verse glorifying Akbar for posterity. And therefore, from that point onwards, this temple became the center of the entire Gaudiya activity. So, at this particular point, this Chaitanya Charitamrita was released in 1616 right here. Now, as I described before, that in this period, the amazing historical incidents made people realize that the Gaudiya Vaishnavism is flourishing. But as I said, history shows anything which goes up also comes down. And therefore, if you see in this beautiful temple, the structure of this temple is built in such a way that outside you only see cuts. It's all plain. Right? And why is it plain? It is made quite plain with a particular reason. Jiva Goswami acknowledged the fact that Akbar, being a non-believer in deities, donated land and stone for a temple of Govindadev. So, according to his personal beliefs, he does not believe in deity worship, still he donated. That means he compromised. He compromised on his stand. So, as per Vedic, typical Vedic architecture, temples are built with lot of intricate figures on the outside. In typical temples of Hindus, you'll see. So, Jiva Goswami said, if Akbar can compromise, then I should also compromise in reciprocation. So, when two people have a conversation where each person is stubborn on his stand, it is called a monologue. If two people have a conversation and each person is willing to compromise their stand, that is called dialogue. And therefore, history is revealing that revolutionary things can be accomplished when people come together with a willingness for a dialogue. And therefore, in this tract of land, a revolutionarily beautiful temple could be built because both Jiva Goswami and Akbar, they had a conversation which was in a mood of dialogue. And because Jiva Goswami compromised his stand, because Akbar compromised his stand on deity worship and allowed a temple to be built, Jiva Goswami compromised his stand and had very plain external features. And therefore, this Govindadev temple is called a dialogue in stone. And therefore, you find that in this entire temple, externally, everything is very simple. The brackets you see are all in the form of, you know, parrots. So, the typical symbols of power in Hindu temples are used. Lion, elephants, which evoke awe and reverence. Thanks to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and revelation of how Vrindavan functions, in the army of Vrindadevi and Yogamaya, there are only parrots, peacocks, you know, cows, calves, and all that. So inside, you will not find a single structure which evokes reverence and awe. There is no symbol of power anywhere in this Govindadev temple. Because the supreme power has been given to a basil tree, Tulsi, Vrindadevi. She has been given full power. And therefore, inside structures and the architecture has been built by Jiva Goswami to reflect the philosophy given in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And therefore, you know, scholars and historians have studied this temple from so many different angles. And the reason I got involved so much and I am sharing so much is because Radhanath Swami told us to build a Govindadev temple at GV. Because many of you may be wondering, ये क्या हिस्ट्री का क्लास चल रहा है क्या? So when you are faced with a very difficult challenge, then you are forced to go deep. So if you have to replicate Govindadev temple, then I started searching for books on Govindadev. Then I found books in which the entire design was given and the history was given and so many other things are given. But still, we have not yet come to the destruction of Govindadev so far. So I am still describing to you about all of these different aspects as given here. So after Akbar left in 1605, his son Jahangir took over. And then Jahangir was not such a big fan. But because his father had created all this, so anyway the political collaboration continued. And one of the theories is the Mughals wanted to really please the Bengal Vaishnavas because they also wanted to penetrate and conquer Bengal. So it was part of their political strategy. So around the same temple, different personalities are connected with different interests. Jeev Goswami, pure bhakti. Akbar, pure politics. Man Singh, both. But somehow you had somebody like Jeev Goswami who could manage all of this together. Then after that, Jeev Goswami, of course, Rupa Goswami departed in 1564. Gopal Bhatta Goswami in 1578. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami in 1579, Raghunath Das Goswami in 1586. So from 1586 till 1618, in that period, practically only one Jeev Goswami was remaining. So he outlived all the others and he practically defined the entire future narrative of Gaudiya Vaishnavism in Vrindavan in that period. So Jahangir was followed by his son Shah Jahan, and Shah Jahan also was brought up by various Muslim clerics and he was also kind of a fundamentalist. He had a son whose name was Dara Shuko, and again we find the interesting twist in history that the political alliance between the Muslims and the Mughals and the Rajputs continue. So then Man Singh was succeeded and his successor further was succeeded by Jai Singh I. So Jai Singh I, he was working with Jahangir, with Shah Jahan, and then during Shah Jahan's time, Shah Jahan's son Dara Shuko did not share a good equation with Jai Singh I. And Shah Jahan really wanted to make Dara Shuko the emperor. Dara Shuko's younger brother Aurangzeb did not want Dara Shuko to become the king. But he had no power to overthrow Dara Shuko. So Aurangzeb was looking for somebody who would help him overthrow and kill Dara Shuko. So typically so far, the Mughals and the Rajputs collaborated, and this time Aurangzeb managed to convince Jai Singh I to come on his side, and it was Jai Singh I, the Rajput king of Amer, who helped catch and kill Dara Shuko and give power in the hands of Aurangzeb. It was the same Rajput king who would later protect the deities who were responsible for giving power to the one who would destroy the deities. A terrible twist in destiny. And then Jai Singh I's son Ram Singh and Jai Singh both suggested to Aurangzeb that with respect to Shivaji Maharaj, better not make enemies with him. Make allies with him, let us go and invite him for a peace talk. So Aurangzeb said, fine. So when Shivaji Maharaj was called, he was very skeptical. He said that, I don't trust this fellow Aurangzeb. But these people said, no, don't worry. We are inviting you, you will be treated well. Shivaji Maharaj came there, he was mistreated in Agra. He blasted Aurangzeb, Aurangzeb put him in jail. Ram Singh, the son of Jai Singh, one helped Shivaji Maharaj escape. Aurangzeb became furious and he decided, I will teach a lesson to these Rajputs. And so he started first attacking Kashi Vishwanath temple, then he attacked Keshavji temple in Mathura, and then he started attacking temples in Vrindavan. When he came to Govindadev temple, he realized that in the Govindadev temple, his own grandfather, Akbar, had put in a lot of effort, and therefore he did not dismantle most of the temple, only the central spire he dismantled. If you take a parikrama, you will see that now they have closed with a cement wall on the backside. So the actual temple space where the deities were held is now a vacuum there. And the deities which you see now, they are actually in front of another wall which has been built. Behind that deities is a wall, and from that wall to the wall which you see during parikrama is where the actual temple was. So then all the deities were taken, and Govindadev was then taken from here to Radhakund. From Radhakund they were taken to Kamyavan. Vrindadevi deities also went, and that's where Vrindadevi appeared in the dream and said, I will stay in Kamyavan. Deities were taken further. So in the period between 1670 to 1713, the deities of Govindadev finally reached the outskirts of what is known as modern day Jaipur. So by that time, Ram Singh's son and his son was Jai Singh II, who was only 7 years old when it had to take control of the kingdom. Jai Singh II became a very intimate disciple of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and also very close to Baladev Vidyabhushan. So Baladev Vidyabhushan was residing very much along with Chakravarti Pad in the Gokulananda temple. In the same lane of Gokulananda temple is a beautiful palatial house called Jai Singh Ghira. That's where Maharaj Jai Singh was staying. So the deities of Govindadev appeared in Jai Singh's dream and they revealed that we have been sent away from our home. We are roaming around here and there and you are sitting in our home in a palace. So Jai Singh decided at that point that I should make some arrangements. So Jai Singh called all the town planners and created the entire blueprint for the town of Jaipur in Jai Singh Ghira. That's where it was made. And so, in 1727 finally, so Jai Singh's sister, her name was Kanak. So that Vrindavan on the outskirts of Jaipur is called Kanak Vrindavan. And so finally, the deities were installed in 1727 in Jaipur, right in that middle of the garden. And then the construction of the entire city began, which took another, 20 years or so. And that's how the Govindadev deities went from here all the way till there. And so we find that over this period of time, through so many twists and turns of history, all of these deities which were installed by our Goswamis here in Vrindavan were ultimately shipped from here. And in this period, Gopal Bhatta Goswami's deity, because he had only 12 Shaligram Shilas, he was praying, I should also have deity. And on Narsingh Chaturdashi, next day, one of the Shaligrams manifested into Radha Raman. And so these Radha Raman deities were the only ones which did not, they were so small they could be hidden easily. And so they are the original ones. And therefore we find that all of these deities are there. And then for Govindadev, Pratapradhar Maharaj's son Purushottam Jana decided to send deity of Radharani. So the first Radharani deity to be worshipped in public was right here in Govindadev. But he sent two deities, one for Madan Mohan, one for Govindadev. But they appeared in the dream of the pujari of Madan Mohan and said, actually that is not Radharani, that is Lalita. So then, this is also so wonderful, just one day before deity installation, the deities are manifesting in the dream and the pujari is telling, Madan Mohan and pujari is telling the Govindadev pujari, this Radharani is not Radharani, it is Lalita. Who said? Dream. And Govindadev pujari also says, okay, if you have been revealed in a dream, it must be true. So that is an example of Vaishnav simplicity. Right? Hard to imagine now. That you just say and we believe it. So they just installed it, and then Janava Devi went and started carving another deity of Radharani. And those deities were then finally brought here, you know, with the help of Janava Devi, and then they were installed by the side of these deities. And like that, we find that the deities of Radharani have manifested. So, through this entire beautiful historical narration of these episodes which we see, we have to appreciate the amount of hard work, penance and sacrifice performed by the Goswamis of Vrindavan and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's amazing vision in manifesting this Vrindavan. Without the elaborate plan making of personalities like Jiva Goswami, without the collaboration, nothing could have happened. And thanks to the fact that such temples were established, in spite of such ruthless attacks, still the tradition continues. And that is the advantage of the institution. And therefore we find that Mahaprabhu went across South India and converted millions of people into devotees, but no structures were established. And as a result, it is very difficult to find any symbol of Gaudiya Vaishnavism in South India. So therefore, temples and structures have their relevance, have their importance, right? And you know, maybe managing temples may be difficult or may be filled with challenges, but still they have their major advantages, and that's why Srila Prabhupada established temples all over the world. And therefore, when we look at this temple and see that the stone is a silent testimony, silent witness to so many ups and downs which have happened in this particular precincts throughout history. And Gokulanand and Baladev Vidyabhushan have a major role to play, because Jay Singh too was the person who actually protected Gaudiya Vaishnavism from becoming history. We would not even be hearing speaking the history if not for Baladev Vidyabhushan and Jay Singh too. And that is, of course, another story in itself. But the fact is, you know, Vrindavan is a place where Krishna performed his sweet pastimes. Mahaprabhu's associates translated those pastimes for us in the form of temples which we can come and offer obeisances and worship, holy places which were excavated and reinstated so that we can revive our lost consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada took that to another level, took these holy places all over the world. And thanks to Srila Prabhupada's grace, now we have ISKCON temples in more than 700 locations across the whole world. And India itself, we have more than 225 temples or entities. And now we have Jammu, Kashmir and Leh also. where IYS Pune can go and establish now their branches. That is the only state where you are not present. So therefore, you know, sometimes we may think we are going through so many problems in life. It is only the mind which is saying. There is no threat of anyone coming and attacking the temples and burning the temples and all that. And when the Goswami established the temple, the very people who helped sponsor the temple from one generation, a few generations later, the same people were the ones attacking the temple. And therefore, we cannot ignore the fact that an institution has to live, survive and grow in the political and the social context. And therefore, through Baladev Vidyabhushan and Jai Singh too, a whole narrative was established that do not think that bhakti is only for personal private practice. There is also a social and a political dimension on how society can benefit through bhakti. And that was established as a result of their expositions and their efforts. So I remember when, you know, whenever we invite someone to a temple, we are always afraid something will go wrong. They will get a bad experience and what they will, you know, how they will react and things like that. Because it's a fact that when such a big public place is there and people come, you don't know how they will be, you know, treated. Like we had the sannyas ceremony for Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj, and the main donor for the feast for that day, I told him, you should come and take prasad in this VIP area where we have kept prasad for you. But he insisted, I will come in the main line where all the devotees are taking, because I want to experience. I said, it is too risky. He says, no. I don't want to be treated special. So then I said, okay, fine. And then last kirtan was going on. I was in the temple hall. Suddenly from inside, I started feeling something is going wrong. You can call it experience, you can call it intuition. So Paramatma, you know, inspires. So I came running down and I asked, where is that donor? And I found that the donor is sitting in the car about to leave. And I went to him and I said, what happened? He said, my wife and myself, we were in the line, and as soon as we reached, right when we were about to enter the Prasadam hall in the line, they closed the door. And it was like an open metal door. And the in charge was standing on the other side and saying, you cannot come in. And I said, "Arey, we have a train to catch, please allow us." He says, no, order hai. And they said, kiska order hai? Gaurang Prabhu ka. I had nothing to do with it. But that is ISKCON. You can use anybody's name. No royalty. So then the wife started screaming and she said, these people are insulting us, let us get out. And therefore they were sitting and they were about to leave. I begged them, please, it was a mistake. I told you again and again to take in the VIP area. You insisted. Give us one more chance. We'll take you to the VIP area. We'll give you prasad there. So somehow they agreed, they came there. And as they were just taking prasadam, I went up to the temple hall and Radhanath Mara was coming down. I requested him, please come to the garden, to the VIP area and give some gifts to the donor. I didn't tell him the full story. I said, please give some gifts, they'll be happy. So he came down and then these people finished the prasad and then I made them introduce to Maharaj and got some Radha Gopinath's frame to be gifted to the lady who was especially angry. And as soon as she got the frame from Maharaj's hand, she smiled blissfully, looked at me and said, "Ab mujhe pata laga Gopinath ne kyun kiya ye sab." नहीं तो कृपा कैसी मिलती है? ऐसे एज लॉन्ग एज यू आर पैसिफाइड एवरीथिंग इज फाइन. सो देन ऑन द वे आउट वी वेंट टू द शू स्टॉल. आई वॉन्टेड टू बी एस्पेशली मोर बी सर्वेंट ऑफ द सर्वेंट. आई टुक द टोकन, शू टोकन, टोकन नंबर. सेड गिव इट टू मी, आई विल ब्रिंग. आई वेंट एंड गेव इट टू द शू स्टॉल. दे गेव मी अ पेयर ऑफ शूज. आई गेव टू द डोनर. ही सेड दिस इज नॉट माई शूज. I went to the guy again, said, hey, कौन सा जूता दिया यार, दूसरा दो. He showed another pair, I showed him, said, ये भी नहीं है. For 10-15 minutes, we couldn't find his shoes. जिस दिन भगवान देते हैं छप्पर फाड़ के देते हैं. Everything was going wrong. And finally, somehow, I jumped inside and started showing him one shoe after another. From inside the bag, ये है क्या, ये है क्या, ये है क्या. Finally he said, हाँ ये है. When finally they sat in the car and they departed, I realized that you may do all your organization and all your management and this and that, but ultimately when it comes to the temple, they are the supreme managers. And therefore they decide what they want to do, how they want to do. And therefore, although such beautiful temples have been built here by the Manjaris of the spiritual world with the best kind of planning and the full intention and instruction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, still what we see here is something inconceivable. Therefore, we cannot understand Shastra, we cannot understand from our intellect the various incidents which take place in Vaishnav history, because the purpose of Shastra is not to understand Krishna's will but to submit to his will. And therefore Krishna wants to share through all of this history is whatever successes you may experience in your own definition of success, your ultimate success will remain your ability to be flexible, to transform and change your plan as per my will. And that is what Vrindavan is all about. Vrindavan is all about transformation, changing and submission. And therefore Srila Prabhupada, when he established ISKCON, one of the main things he was always emphasizing was how devotees, they actually submit to his will and decide to establish Krishna consciousness following his desire and will. And therefore this temple demonstrates the willingness of Jiva Goswami to dismantle existing traditions, to create new tradition, to dismantle the concept of worship Krishna with awe and reverence, to create new paradigm of worshipping Krishna with intimacy, to integrate the worship of the Shakta tradition of worshipping Shakti and Durga in the form of worshipping Yogamaya, Vrindadevi, Radharani within one precincts. So this temple was revolutionary. And Srila Prabhupada was also revolutionary. Otherwise, how can someone in another country go and say there was no moon landing, when the whole world is talking about it? And I remember when I was in IIT, we were just doing japa on the terrace, and one of the devotees suddenly got up and said, we never went to the moon. So I was very new, and for me that was not the biggest problem in life. So I said, we didn't go to the moon, okay, fine. But breakfast to milega na. But there was another devotee, was very, very serious into philosophy and this and that, he became very agitated. And he started arguing. How you are saying we never went to the moon? This is bogus. What do you mean bogus? Prabhupada said that. You are blaspheming Prabhupada. Huh? Anything you want to justify, you say Prabhupada said that. And 5:45 in the morning, there was this heated debate on moon landing. And 3-4 of us were very new and we just couldn't figure out what was the, you know, emotion all about. But we were getting more worried about one thing. The time for breakfast was approaching and the guy who was most agitated about moon landing was our main cook. So I looked at him and said that, okay, whether one went to the moon or not, but those on the earth are hungry. And he said, till this issue is resolved, I am not cooking. And that was the day when I entered the kitchen for the first time. I didn't realize I'll remain inside for so long. And there was this old gas, our kerosene stove in which we used to cook. Nowadays, the voices and choices and bases and everything are 5-star. We were in our own hostel room cooking on a kerosene stove, which looked like very old, you know, as they say, Baba Adam ke zamane ka. And then somehow we managed to make something. But we see that Srila Prabhupada, he challenged the existing paradigms. And the Goswamis challenged the existing paradigm. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he went across the world more than 17 times in those 11 years and established Krishna consciousness and gave the blueprint for Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada's disciples have established the institution very strongly across the whole globe. They have made sacrifices to break through the communist regime. Things change. Communism was a big deal in the 70s, in the 80s. Now, the younger generation don't even know what is communism and what is Iron Curtain and what is this, what is that. So, through time, political details, stability and instability will go on changing. But Krishna consciousness is eternal and the principles of Krishna consciousness need to be established as per time, place and circumstance. So therefore, we are very fortunate that we have been given that opportunity to understand the mood of the Goswamis thanks to Srila Prabhupada. And following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, we must take this Krishna consciousness very seriously in our own lives. We must remember Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu struggled for nearly 20 years. Mahaprabhu struggled for nearly 30 years. Only in his 30th year, Mahaprabhu entered into Vrindavan. And that too he stayed for only a month. Whereas we have been given the privilege to stay in Vrindavan for long periods in comfortable situations. We must realize that Vrindavan is all about absorption. And therefore, let us pray in this holy dham of Vrindavan at the lotus feet of Shishi Radha Govinda Dev, Radha Raman, Radha Gokulananda Ji, Radha Gopinath Ji, Radha Madan Mohan Dev, and all of the deities of Vrindavan, that they empower us with the ability to absorb our mind, our consciousness in hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna's holy name. We remain absorbed in remembering the sacrifices made by our predecessor Acharyas, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to give us Krishna consciousness, to remain grateful for what they have done for us, And let us remain absorbed and free from distraction. Distraction of prosperity and adversity. Distraction from the needless reason.
Hello. आपको कुछ बुला रहे
हैं? वो बुला रहे हैं आपको. अच्छा इसके लिए. That is a typical example of distraction. Prabhupada was on a morning walk with Nanda Kumar Prabhu, and Prabhupada was way ahead and Nanda Kumar Prabhu was back, and a dog started chasing Nanda Kumar Prabhu, and he started running from the dog, and Prabhupada was way ahead and he started shouting, "Prabhupada, Prabhupada," and Prabhupada and devotees turned around and they saw this strange scene, this big dog chasing and Nanda Kumar Prabhu's dhoti flying in all direction. And when he came near, Prabhupada looked at the dog sternly, crouched on the ground, took his walking stick above his head, and looking into the eyes of this dog, Prabhupada shouted, "Hut!" And as soon as this American dog heard, he sat on the ground with tail underneath, because American dog had never heard Desi Gali before. And then the Prabhupada's disciples were even more impressed, because they thought Prabhupada can control dog also. Then Prabhupada came to Jaipur, and this same Nanda Kumar Prabhu was making rotis for Prabhupada in the kitchen. Then a monkey entered. And as soon as the monkey entered, he thought, "I know the trick." He took the rolling pin above his head and looked at the monkey and said, "Hut!" The monkey took a big pot and hit him on the head. So then he came running to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, "You saw, but you did not learn." So therefore, the mind which is like a monkey can get distracted any moment. And so there is a reason why so many monkeys are here in Vrindavan, to remind us how real life situations are such that you need to remain absorbed in the midst of all kinds of opportunities for distraction. Another very important kind of distraction apart from prosperity and adversity is a desire to fight and have the satisfaction of winning an argument or a situation, or thinking that I have become victorious. This spirit is against the spirit of Vrindavan. From Vrindavan's perspective, it is a distraction. So therefore, another very important lesson which we need to learn in Vrindavan is, choose your battles very carefully. So many situations will be jumping around your life like these monkeys, but you have to remain focused. If you get distracted and start playing with one of those situations, you will lose your ultimate essence. And so the proof is, when Rupa Goswami was here, Sanatana Goswami was here, the scholar Rup Narayan came and he said, "Sign the Vijay Patra. I am the greatest scholar in all the four directions." And Rupa Goswami said, "Where is the Vijay Patra? Bring immediately. I am signing." And Jiva Goswami got agitated. "Are, how did you accept defeat?" So for Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, accepting defeat was not a problem. The main purpose of life is not to experience victory, but to experience service. The purpose is to please the object of our service. The purpose is not to defeat somebody. And so Rupa Goswami was so angry with Jiva Goswami, he banished him from Vrindavan, saying that your tendency to defeat does not have any place in Sri Vrindavan. And therefore, a lot of our time is spent in unnecessary arguments, petty quarrels, trying to prove our point. Trying to prove your point has no point in Vrindavan. And therefore, Jiva Goswami was banished from Vrindavan twice. Because Jiva Goswami agreed to be banished, then he got so much empowered that he could do so much till 1618. If you had felt offended and left Vrindavan, it would have been a different history. So Jiva Goswami was humbled by Rupa Goswami, and Jiva Goswami agreed to be humbled by Rupa Goswami. So one who humbles and one who agrees to be humbled, both are empowered to create history. And therefore, we are sitting in a very historical place, and we should learn things from various perspectives, from devotional perspective, from organizational perspective, from historical perspective, from political perspective, from the perspective of constant change in society and such a dynamic situation which the Goswamis went through to establish Krishna consciousness, just so that you and me could come and sit here. And the other day I was doing, you know, some Google search, and I wanted some more details, so I googled attack in Vrindavan. So as soon as you google attack in Vrindavan, you will get a whole list on the front page of Google, monkey attacks in Vrindavan. So in one sense, life is so cool and peaceful that what meant attack in Vrindavan in 1670 during the Mughal time, that attack in Vrindavan has changed from attack by armies to attack by monkeys. So comparatively, the problems we are facing is pretty peaceful. So therefore, with all these meditations, let us place our head on the holy dust of Vrindavan and beg at the lotus feet of Rishi Radha Govinda Dev to bless us with their eternal causeless mercy. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. And thanks to our security volunteer who was standing all through protecting us from the attacks of Vrindavan.
Hare Krishna, we are extremely grateful to His Grace Gaurang Prabhu. All the way, as far as I remember, 1000 AD till date, Prabhu gave whole history with all the years and so many, especially 500 years back, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrival, the background for that, and how the history went on, empowering the Ashad Goswamis, Jiva Goswami's contribution. So many things Prabhu spoke, especially Vrindavan. He said, what is that? Vrindavan is all about absorption. So we should be absorbed, and how to be absorbed? For that we need to be humility, with the tools of humility, not with the expertise and other things which we generally give consideration to. But he said the tools of humility, that is, and submission, and which he himself in his life personifies. Now all the, as I said, Maharaj desire, and Prabhu bent to it and then surrendered to it. It's not so easy. We have a picture of Maharaj from a distance. He's sitting high, long away there on the stage, and we are quite behind in the crowd. But when we go very close, and when something has to be moved forward for the sake of the whole world in future, you know, it's a very powerful task, and only powerful people like him, with the help of so many other powerful devotees, can only take it forward under the guidance of great souls like His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj. So let us express our gratitude by loudly chanting Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Thank you very much. So we are very happy. So this one more place, I am very much tempted to speak a lot many things, but in particular about one great Vaishnav, because we are sitting in the precincts in the area of Govindji temple. So after Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, some years later, I am not sure whether it is a disciple of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, there was one great devotee called Ghanashyam or Narahari Chakravarti, not Narahari Sarkar, whom we know, the uncle of Raghunandan Thakur. Not that. Nara Hari Adi Kori Chamaradulaya. Not that Narahari Sarkar, but Narahari Chakravarti, one very great devotee whose name was Ghanashyam and who was residing in this premises. And daily he would render very humble service in this temple complex. He would be sweeping the floor, he would get the firewood for the cooking, he would get daily water from Yamuna River. And he would not be wanting to very close to the deities and want to render some direct service. The pujaris would request him, please come and do some service. He would say, no, I'm not qualified. And at best, maximum that he could enter was only up to that, you know, the fan is there for Govindadev, earlier traditional fans. So they have the ropes coming all the way in the temple hall. So he would come only till that point and take that rope and pull it and give that fanning service to Govindadev. But he never came even very close to the deities. Why I am telling? Because how important is the service that we will see through this pastime. So he did not worry about all that. And so many times the pujaris requested, ultimately they felt he is too humble, forget it. You know, he will not agree. So they left him like that. So years passed by, he became quite old, somewhat old. So then one day when he went after entering all the services, till night, sweeping and everything, you know, it's like a humble menial services. Then he went to his kutir and he wanted to take rest. But before that, in his mind, he cooked very hot khichdi and he offered to Govindadev in the mind. And then he slept. But Govindadev accepted that khichdi, which was offered with so much love and devotion. He was ecstatic. Govindadev went so mad, he appeared in the dream of the king of Rajasthan then, the Jaipur area. And he said, oh my dear king, you know, today I have been offered such an ecstatic khichdi. I just, in my whole life, I have not eaten khichdi like this. So I want this khichdi to be cooked for me again and again. And also sabji and some sweets. By one person, the person who cooked, his name is Ghanashyam. You go to Vrindavan tomorrow only and make sure that he becomes the in charge and he makes this khichdi for me for all the time. So then the king, you know, it was very powerful dream and Lord Govindadev came. So he got up and he was wondering what was that. But then to his great surprise, where he was sleeping on that royal bed, next to him on the table, he found there was a plate, golden plate, and on that hot khichdi, fuming with all the smoke, that was there. And he was wondering, he got relation between the two, the dream and the thing. So he was tempted, it was midnight, he had taken his dinner and breakfast was not required then. But he was tempted and then he got up and he started eating. And he ate it and he went mad. He thought, my God, now I understand why Govindji went so mad. Then he woke up the queen and the princess and some ministers and he fed them all. He said, this is the khichdi which is offered to Govindadev last night. And we wish, you know, so we have to go now. He told the whole dream. So let us go. Next day morning, they all prepared. They were very eager. And they all came all the way from Jaipur to here. And they went, took darshan of their lordships, Govindadev. And as soon as the king, queen, princess and all them came out, king inquired, where is that Ghanashyam? So people were wondering, Ghanashyam, and how the king knows? You know, he's a simple devotee here. So they said, here he is. He's sweeping the area. He was sweeping like something like this in one area there. So then around this only, here only. So then as soon as king came to know this is Ghanashyam, immediately he bent down. Vancha kalpatarubhyasya krupa sindhubhyo cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama. Queen bent down, princess bent down, and all the ministers bent down. Everybody that had come, they all bent down. And all the people were wondering, what is this? The pujaris came out and they were wondering, what is happening here? And they asked, my dear king, what is that? Why are you bending down to our simple Ganesha? He said, it is not simple. Yesterday night he offered khichdi to Govindadev. It was so ecstatic. Govindadev is gone mad. And he wants that khichdi to be offered to him. They said, what? Offering khichdi? He never offers khichdi. He never cooks. He never comes inside the kitchen. He never comes in the deity room also. How are you saying? He said, no. The Govindadev revealed. So then it was inquired and then he also told that it was offered in the dream, it seems. So Ghanashyam told, I offered in the dream. And then everything was very clear. And immediately the pujaris caught Ghanashyam. He said, nothing doing. Now it's Govinda is standing order. And the king has come to ensure that you are going to cook every day. So with the blessing of all the Vaishnavas, humbly he entered in the kitchen for the first time, and then he became the head cook, and then daily khichdi was cooked by him, and then some sabjis and sweets, and Govindadeva was relishing like that. And some more years passed by like that. He became very old, rendering all his humble menial services along with kitchen services. Then the Vaishnavas present that time, they requested that, Ghanashyam, you have heard these pastimes of the associates of Mahaprabhu who came much later to him. Up to Mahaprabhu and contemporary associates have been described to great extent in Chaitanya Charitamrita. But years later, the Vaishnavas who were there, Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamanand Pandit, and those things, that era, that is not known to most of the Vaishnavas all over the world. So why don't you write some books about this? So with the blessings, with humble humility, this Ghanashyam Prabhu, he started writing. And that became a great literature that he wrote, which we know famous by the name Bhakti Ratnakar. How many of you know the name Bhakti Ratnakar? In the early years, we have been hearing from His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, Bhakti Ratnakar. So many pastimes, the three devotees, they were empowered by Jiva Goswami to go all over Bengal and distribute the books and all that. So those pastimes, then their visit, first visit of Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivas Acharya to all the places in Vrindavan under the guidance of Raghav Pandit. Eventually Shyamanand Pandit joined them and they also went on a tour. Very amazing description is there. All that Navadvip Dham Mahatmya we know, the places we know, as well as Vrindavan Dham places we know, in great details it is all described over there. It is very wonderful literature. I request all the devotees in future sometimes. Maybe first we should read Prabhupada books, but after that you can make it hardly 600 pages. I read it twice. I read 1 to 600 pages. Then I felt tempted and I should read it again. Then again I read the whole literature. It is such amazing literature. And we can see his humility that comes out through the writings only, because he was made of full the submission and humility. So that personality eventually called as Narhari Chakravarti. He also wrote Srinivas Charit and some other literatures also. Very humble Vaishnava. So in this premises of Govindadev temple, he would daily clean. So this is the importance of serving. We many times want to see the deities, what we want to push and all that. But actually that is not the way. Lord, we should try to serve the Lord in such a way that Lord wants to see us. Maharaj was telling in the lecture, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's testament he was repeating. Don't try to see the Lord. Serve in such a way that Lord wants to see you. So that was Ghanashyam, or eventually Narhari Chakravarti, who wrote that famous book Bhakti Ratnakar and many other books. So that happened in this premises. So I wish sometimes myself, maybe all of us, sometimes get brooms and keep cleaning this place at least for half an hour, 1 hour maybe. Throughout life we may not stay here. At least I am not qualified to be here. But you know, this is the importance of serving. So Prabhu also very nicely told how we should be in the mood of serving. Always try to serve. Never try to see and all those things. We should never try to take a leading position. Always the position should be of the servant, of the servant, of the servant. So that way if we are there, then it's a great fortune. So always look forward for services. So tomorrow is very auspicious day of the disappearance day of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki! So we will have a nice celebration festival in the pandal. And for that, they are also arranging bhoga offerings to Srila Prabhupada. So all the devotees are only requested to enthusiastically participate. They have made arrangements from 4 p.m. today till 9 p.m. around 5 hours today. And tomorrow 4 a.m. to 11 a.m. whatever, 7 hours. So all these time slots are kept for cooking, devotees cooking. And then that bhoga offering will be offered to Srila Prabhupada. So enthusiastic participation from devotees is expected. How many of you are willing? Those who have talent, person like me, I will burn everything. But those who have talents, raise your hands, would like to. So you need to register with Balram Ananda Prabhu. How many of you got the WhatsApp about it, message about it? Okay. Those who did not, for them the number is of Balram Ananda Prabhu, 9930199301-41824. 9930141824. And also one more devotee, Rasika Acharya Prabhu. His number is 9930141809. So please register with one of these two devotees and give your name for cooking today 4 to 9 p.m. and tomorrow 4 a.m. to 11 a.m. So that bhoga could be offered to Srila Prabhupada on this auspicious December. Prabhupada left his body here itself. the personality who had gone to Vrindavan, but not to settle in Vrindavan, but to take Vrindavan to the entire, all the people all over the globe. He left Vrindavan at that ripe age, but then Krishna mercifully brought him back here only, and he left his body on that day around 7:25 in the evening. That time also we'll have festival, but for morning bhoga offering, this is the requirement. So this is the end of our parikrama today, and we will be boarding buses nearby on the right side. There is one Katyayani bus stand. Our volunteers will guide us there. We'll board the buses and we'll go back to our Pandal program. And tomorrow is this festival day, so we'll be all engaged in the festival activities. Day after tomorrow, we will be going to Nandagaon. Hari Bol! So timing and all would be displayed eventually. So be prepared. We'll go in the bus. That is even farther than Barsana. 9 kilometers ahead of Barsana. And then we'll have holy places there, Katha there, and then come back in buses back to our Pandal. Today, as usual, every day there will be program by Maharaj, 5 in the evening around. Every day it is there. Shri Govinda Dev Bhagwan Ki, Shila Rupa Goswami Pad Ki, Samaveta Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki, Itai Gaur Premanande.
Group mein dala tha.